morning, Hillcrest. It's great to praise God for the good rain we've gotten this last week. And we just thank God for his goodness. And I couldn't say any better than Janetta said, you know, the week is just better when we're together and when we're worshiping and praising the Lord. Amen. And he really does want to speak to you today and meet with you right where you are. Even those of you online today. Some of you couldn't be here today and you're joining us from who knows where, but we're glad you're here and glad that you're able to worship through technology. We praise God for that. Well, as you know, we like to preach through major passages and sections of Scripture, and we are between series right now. We recently finished Genesis chapters 1 to 11, and next week I plan to start a series on the Sermon on the Mount. So that's Matthew's chapters 5 to 7. That's the most famous, greatest sermon that was ever preached because it was preached by this King of Kings that we're singing about and praising today. Jesus preached this message. And so that's where we're going to be next week. But today we're going to be in Malachi. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. So we were in the first book in Genesis. Now we're going to flip to the last book. And if we're going to preach a series on the Sermon on the Mount, I guess today you might say we're going to talk about the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. We're going to preach about tithing. Now, I understand. I understand some things going in. I understand, first of all, that we are in difficult times economically. I realize that there might be some people in this congregation that may have been cut back on their hours or maybe even laid off. I understand that for many of all of us, retirement accounts are dwindling or maybe even non-existent right now. I recognize we're in an inflationary period where prices are going up and it's costing more to buy groceries and go out to dinner, and gas prices are not letting up. I also understand that this passage, this topic of tithing and giving is abused by some pastors. Some pastors are notorious for always talking about giving. Reminds me of a story one time of a couple of guys that were shipwrecked. They were on a boat and it was shipwrecked on a deserted island. And they lost their phones. I mean, they literally just swam to shore with nothing but the clothes on their back. And they got up there and the one was just freaking out. I mean, he was freaked out and he was saying, we're going to die. It's hopeless. There's no point. I mean, we're going to die. And he was just freaked out. The other guy was just as calm as a cucumber, just kicking back. And he said, no, I'm not worried. And he said, don't you understand? We're going to die. And he said, no, we're not going to die. Believe me, my preacher will find me. He says, you don't understand. Your preacher's not going to find you. We're going to die. And he says, my preacher's going to find me. I make $100,000 a week and I tithe. He will find me. So some preachers, that's all they talk about. But you know what? I'm not going to apologize for this subject either. I don't think we should apologize for it, because how we manage our money is directly linked to our discipleship. It's part of our discipleship. It's part of our growth as we walk with Christ. And by the way, Jesus talked quite a bit about money and possessions and greed. And matter of fact, the parables that Jesus told. There are 38 recorded parables in the Word of God. 16 of them deal with finances. The Bible has some 330 verses on prayer, about 500 on faith, and over 2,000 that deal with money and possessions. Maybe I ought to preach a little bit more about money and possessions. No, I'm not going to say that I'm going to do that. I'm just going to preach through the Word of God, the whole counsel of God's Word. But I do believe the Bible has some things to say about tithing. And believe it or not, this really is not for me. Honestly, and I've told some of you this before, if you've been through the new members class, and it's the truth, I try to stay as far away from the money as I can. And it's kind of ironic because I was trained, I mean, my business, I've got a degree in business, and I ran a business before I came in here, but I don't want to see it. I don't want to know what you give. I will never ask you if you tithe. That's between you and the Lord. But I will preach unashamedly God's word, and I will stand on it, and I will tell you what I do in my life. And I believe that really this is for you. Would you believe that this is something that is a blessing for you? That title, I'm not just trying to be cute when I came up with that title, Blessed Be the Tithe. That actually happened a few years ago. I'll tell you that story, and then we'll get into the text. But I actually had a Lord's Supper. This was in another setting, another church where I served. And we were going to have the Lord's Supper. And they were trying to explain the Lord's Communion on the bulletin back when we've got a bulletin here, but we had everything on our bulletin then. We didn't have any technology or Facebook to put out notes. And so the person who had put that bulletin together said, we're going to serve communion next week. And after communion, we always sing, blessed be the tithe. And that's exactly what they put. There was kind of a mistake there. And I thought, oh man. But then, you know, I thought about it. The tithing really is a blessing. It's a blessing to you. And I'm going to explain why in our passage today. So hopefully you found your way to Malachi. I want you to look at Malachi chapter 3, and I'll explain the setting for this after we read it. But picking up in verse 7 of Malachi chapter 3, I want you to see that tithing really is a blessing. It's something God has intended so he can bless you. Since the days of your fathers, you have turned from my statutes. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of armies. Yet you ask, how can we return? I'll explain that here in just a moment, that verse 7 there. It might be a little confusing. Verse 8, God says through Malachi, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. Well, how do we rob you, you ask? By not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions. You are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way. This is the only place, by the way, where God says, test me. Test me in this way, says the Lord of armies, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not ruin the produce of your land, and your vine in your field will not fail to produce fruit, says the Lord of armies. Then all the nations will consider you fortunate, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of armies. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how you give us a word on all matters of life, and you help us to understand the pitfalls and the dangers, as well as the right way to go about our finances. Thank you that every good and perfect gift comes from you, not the least of which is the gift of salvation. Thank you for that gospel reminder that Janetta gave us a few minutes ago. And Lord, I want to weave the gospel into this today as well. Thank you that you save us by grace through faith. But Lord, would you please help me now as I try to preach and encourage people to follow what you have directed us to do so that we can be disciplined and live better and manage our all of our things wisely as stewards of what you've given us, but also to receive and see the great blessings that you want to bestow upon us. Please help me to preach your word, Holy Spirit. Speak through me as I preach. And I pray that you'd just work in our hearts and your will would be done through this preaching and this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So again, you've got to believe me that my concern is for you as I preach these words. If you're not tithing, you're missing a blessing. You're missing something very important. And I'm concerned that if nobody teaches you the basics, if you never hear it from me or from anyone else, then you're not going to know. You're going to miss out on something very important that might even be vital in your walk with the Lord. And so that's why I want to talk about this. And really, it doesn't need to be a touchy subject. We make it that way, but we can ought to be able to talk about anything in here as family as we look at the Word of God together. And so it's an important opportunity for us as we grow in our Christian walk. Tithing is a blessing. And let me give you three reasons why. So already we're going to jump into our outline today. Three reasons why tithing is a blessing. Number one, tithing is a blessing because it helps me to keep God first. Keep God first. That's what verse 7 is really talking about. Look at that with me back there, if you will, in verse 7. When Malachi says, since the days of your fathers, you have turned from my statutes. You have not kept them. He's talking about more than just tithing, more than just giving. He's talking about a people that were so hard-hearted that they kept up going through the motions. They kept going to the temple. They kept worshiping. They kept the sacrificial system. They kept the festivals. But their hearts were far from God. So much so that what did God do? God had to discipline them. And they were exiled. They had to spend time in Babylon in captivity. Now this is after that. The people had come back. They'd come back home and you'd think that they'd be grateful and they'd be on fire for God. But very quickly their hearts cooled once again. And so he's warning them. That's really what Malachi is all about. And actually, I believe I'm going to start teaching through Malachi on Wednesday nights. We're about finished with Galatians. And I think it's a worthwhile study to look at what Malachi says. It's only about four chapters. So I hope you can join us perhaps on a Wednesday night soon. But basically, their hearts have cooled down. They've turned away from God once again, and he's reminding them, and they respond. Do you notice that? Look at how they respond. Yet you ask, how can we return? It's kind of like when your kid, when you're trying to talk to your child, like if you still have children at home and you're trying to point out something about something they need to be doing, and they're like, who, me? What did I do? Oh, what? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. And so that's the sense here of how can we return? Aren't we back in the promised land? Aren't we worshiping again? How can we return? And so he's trying to explain how they can return. And so in that context, he gives this idea of tithing, giving a tenth. Now he uses the term rob here. Will a man rob God? That's strong language. Three or four times it pops in here. And again, they're not understanding this. And he says, by not making the payments of the tenth, and the contributions. And so here's this idea of a tenth or a tithe. And so basically what he's saying is you've got to give God your best. They were bringing sometimes the scrawniest animals. They were bringing, a lot of times that's what they would tithe. It wouldn't be money. It would be, something they had grown, they'd produce, or maybe it would be an animal. And so he's saying, you're bringing less than the tithe. You're not bringing what God requires. You're not giving God your best. So this word tithe, it literally means a tenth, as you see here. 10%. You know, there's a lot of people, they'll reach in their pocket on a Sunday and they'll get a bill out and they'll put a bill in the plate and it might be a $10 bill or a $20 bill and they'll leave church and they'll say, well, I gave my tithe today. Well, you did if you make $100 a week or $200 a week, but a tithe is a full tenth. God says, bring the whole tithe. And yes, I believe that that's 10% of your gross income. You say, well, Pastor, you're being legalistic there when you talk that way. Well, I'm not being legalistic. I just want to be grossly blessed. I don't want to be blessed on the net. I want to be blessed on the gross. And the purpose of tithing, first of all, is to show that God has first place in your life and in my life. I don't know how many people, even Christians, who might give a testimony to the fact that the pursuit of money tore up my home, or it caused problems, it ruined my relationship with my kids. Some might even say it wrecked my health. My son is in college right now, and he's in his senior year, and he's studying accounting. He's going to be an accounting graduate, hopefully, by the grace of God, next year. But he's also been looking at this little thing called investment banking. And I don't know if he's going to do that or not, but we've been talking to him. You better think twice about that. That is high pressure stuff. I had a professor when I was in college back in the day who worked on Wall Street and he literally burned out. Sometimes people can burn out because of money. Paul even says in 2 Timothy, some people have even walked away from the faith because of money. So why is a tenth so important? Well, it's not because God needs the money. God doesn't need your money. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. But God is concerned that money might have a hold of you. Money might have control, and God doesn't want you to have any idols in your life. Now, are there other idols? Absolutely. Anything can be an idol. But for a lot of people, money has incredible power, and it can pull people away from God. And so, if there's anything that might be an idol in your life, it might be money. And we might need to do a little introspection on that. So again, tithing is for us. And if you're not willing to tithe, that could be indicative of a deeper problem in your life. And we'll talk about that later. So why is it important? Why? How does it help you to put God first? Well, I want you to think about these bullet points under this first point. First of all, Tithing strengthens my allegiance to God. So we say we love God. We say, I'm all in. I'm all in this Christian life. Well, sometimes we've got to check and make sure. Sometimes we've got to be like the church at Ephesus and make sure we've not lost our first love. And so you need to do an assessment regularly. You need to make sure your heart hasn't cooled toward God. And if it has, you need to fan the flames and get back in it again. Because we're always moving one direction or the other in the Christian life. You're never stationary. You're always moving forward or you're moving backwards in the Christian life. And so tithing strengthens your allegiance to God. Right now, if we were honest in a room this size, some watching online, some of us would have to honestly say, I don't really feel very close to God right now. This is one of the ways you can return. You can get strong again in your walk with Him. He can feel close. You can feel close to Him. I want you to listen to Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. Listen to these penetrating words of Jesus. Jesus said, "No servant can serve two masters, since either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." You know, I love the old story about the old farmer and his wife. The farmer and his wife lived out on the ranch and they'd have to drive into town every so often. One day they were driving into town in his old pickup truck. And the farmer was sitting behind the wheel just in stoic silence. And his wife was sitting just as far against the other door, also in total silence. They drove along for a while and neither one of them said a word. Finally, she broke the silence. She said, "Jed, I remember back when we were first married and we didn't sit this far apart." Jed just kept driving along in silence for a while. Finally, he broke the silence. He said, "Well, I ain't moved." Now, I think that couple probably needs to see Lori sometime soon and maybe have some marital counseling. But I also think that sometimes that's how we are. Sometimes we've moved and God hasn't moved. God is right where He's always been. He's consistent. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so I've got to just strengthen my allegiance to Him. Second, you know, tithing strengthens my faith in God. I'm going to issue a challenge to you at the end of this message today. But if you'll tithe regularly and consistently, you'll see your faith strengthened. It'll bring spiritual growth to your life. It's a spiritual discipline. Giving is a spiritual discipline that's intended to grow your faith. Just like Bible study is a discipline. Prayer is a discipline. Those are topics for another day, but we could talk about how those disciplines grow you in your spiritual walk. And so again, when you give according to the way God has asked you to give, He's wanting to grow you. He's wanting to make you more like His Son. He's wanting your values to change. He's wanting your life to change. Again, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well." And by the way, I just have to throw this out. 10% has nothing to do with what you have in the bank. It has everything to do with how much you believe the Bible, how much you believe that God is with you and God will take care of you. So tithing strengthens my faith in God. Thirdly, tithing strengthens my commitment with God, or my contentment, not commitment, contentment. I'm sorry. Contentment. Do you realize that tithing is a discipline that'll help you get your finances in order? You'll live a more disciplined life financially. And you will actually become more content. That's the amazing thing. We always have that carrot dangled out there, right? If I just had a little more money, I could buy that car that I wanted. I could get that phone that I wanted. I could get that furniture in my house. I could get this or that or the other. And again, there's nothing wrong with those things as long as they don't drive you. We need to learn to be content. I need to learn to be content right where I am in life. And so this helps me to exercise discipline and learn to be content. After all, Paul said, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." And ground zero for contented living is in the area of finances. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 6. I kind of alluded to this already, but I want you to hear it and see it on the screen. This is verses 9 and 10, 1 Timothy chapter 6. "But those who want to be rich fall into a temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, I want you to notice that, the love of money, not money itself. There's a lot of wealthy people that don't have a problem with money. It's the love of money that is a root of all kinds of evil. And by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. So really, tithing is a spiritual issue. Do you trust God to live God's way? To do it the way that God has said, that He's going to take care of you? The only way to find contentment is to pursue God. And we got to pursue God in our finances. So number one, just know that tithing is a blessing because it helps me to keep God first. Number two, tithing is a blessing because it helps me to see things with the right perspective. One reason why I believe in tithing, I practice tithing, is because it helps me to see things with the right perspective. Again, verses 8 through 10, it talks about how they are under an obligation to make payments of the tenth and the contributions. And let me just say right off the bat that there are some people that would take issue with what I'm preaching right now. It would be a secondary issue, but there are some who would say, well, I don't see tithing in the New Testament. Pastor, you're just being legalistic. You're talking about how they were under the law. We're not under the law. We're under grace. And right you are. We are under grace. So we don't have to tithe anymore. That's Old Testament stuff, Pastor. Well, I thought about that. And I want to think about that line of reasoning for a moment. You know, next week we're going to start the Sermon on the Mount. I hope I don't run you guys off by saying this. Please come to the Sermon on the Mount. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says some things that pertain to the Old Testament. For instance, in chapter 5, He says, "You have heard that it was said, thou shalt not kill. You shall not murder someone." That's one of the Ten Commandments. "But I say unto you," this is Jesus' words, "everyone who is angry will be subject to judgment. Whoever says fool or moron will be subject to hell fire." So let me ask you a question. Which is the higher standard? The Old Testament law or what Jesus says we are to live as His followers in the Sermon on the Mount? Sermon on the Mount is the higher standard. Later on, He says, "You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery." Uh-oh. "But I say unto you, anyone who looks after a woman to lust upon her," it's just as if he's committed adultery. Again, which is the higher standard? Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. So the Old Testament standard for giving was 10%. That's clear in the Old Testament. No, it's never mentioned in the New Testament. But what do you think Jesus would say about giving in the New Testament? I think that Jesus would say, well, one thing He does say, He says you ought to tithe. I don't have time to give you that. You can read it later. Matthew 23, verse 23. I think the reason why we don't hear about tithing in the New Testament is because people who are saved went far beyond the 10%. The 10% was just a baseline. That was a starting point. They were grace givers. They were generous givers. And you say, well, Pastor, again, that's legalistic. No, that's not legalistic. That's love. We don't give out of duty. We give out of delight. We give because of what God has done for us through Jesus. I don't tithe because it's the law. I tithe because I love God. I love Jesus. I want to be obedient to Him. I want to please Him. So it's really a matter of perspective. Paul said these words. Listen, this won't be on your screen, but 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. "On the first day of the week, each of you is to set aside something and save in keeping with how he is prospering." And so that's the standard. So basically, let me give you these bullet points. Here's the first one. This is the right perspective. This is having the right view about it all. I tithe because everything I have belongs to God. Everything that I have belongs to God. Let me ask you something right now. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Is there anybody in this auditorium right now that would give me $100? Anybody here give me $100? Hey, Thomas, come right up here, young man. Come right up here. I've always liked you, brother. Let me make sure. Hey, looks legitimate to me. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it. You're awesome. He's given me $100. Can you believe that? For pastor appreciation, I guess, right? Right? Why do you think he was so willing to give me $100? Any idea? Because I gave it to him in the donut area this morning. And I said, now don't you run off. You come to church and you come to the worship service. But we did that on purpose to make a point. That was my $100. I gave it to him. And I asked him to give it to me. And he did that. He followed through. He did what I asked him to do. Do you realize that everything that you have, more than just money, your talent, your ability, your personality, the people you know, this beautiful church family that you have surrounding you, all of that's from God. And we're to be stewards of what God has given us. Man, I often talk about that. We talk about that in staff meeting. We want to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us. And so all of it's God's. All of it's God's. Second, I tithe because my heart truly belongs to God. My heart truly does belong to God. We've talked about that already. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But there's a third reason why I tithe. And I want to talk to you about this. I want to point it out from the scripture. I tithe because I want our church to be alive. I am a member of a local church. I'm a part of the universal church. I have brothers and sisters all over the world. And I'm excited about that. I'm thrilled with that. I'm thrilled that there are churches even meeting all over this town with my brothers and sisters in them. But I'm especially indebted to this church. I'm a member of this local body. I'm being discipled in this local body. I'm receiving your spiritual gifts and you're receiving mine directly. And we are a unit and we are working together. And I want this church to be alive. I want it to thrive. And so therefore, I tithe because I want my church to thrive. Now, I want you to go back to the text here and take a look. I want you to look at this little word here, storehouse. Look at verse 10. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. When Malachi was telling them to bring it into the storehouse, he was telling them to literally bring it into a room in the Old Testament temple. There was a place in the temple called the storehouse, and it was where people brought their tithe. Again, a lot of times it might have been crops that they had harvested or something like that. That's why it was a storehouse, but they brought a tenth of their crop. Here's what I want you to hear. In our day, this church is the storehouse. This is the storehouse. And so I want to again be clear about tithing, what I believe tithing is. My tithe, 10% of my income, my tenth, goes to the local storehouse. It goes to my church. This is how I think through it in my own mind. Now, I give to other worthwhile organizations. There's a lot of great organizations out there that I want to link up with and I want to partner with. I wrote a check out yesterday to go to an organization that I agree and I align with their ministry, and I want to help them because they're doing great things. But that, I didn't negate that. I didn't take that portion out of my tithe. My 10% still goes to my local church. And if there's a local church and you're not really happy with, you don't think they're doing the ministry like they should, then you should look for another church. But the tithe goes to the local storehouse. That's what I believe God's word is teaching. Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't give to other groups or organizations. We have special offerings here. We have offerings to Annie Armstrong and Lottie Moon, which is going to support missions and mission work. But 10% goes to the storehouse where I worship so that we have the resources to do God's work, so we can love our community. And of course, we do send a portion on to different agencies. We're part of the Southern Baptist Convention and we give to the cooperative program. And so a part of our money goes on to help agencies and entities and seminaries and colleges and other causes that are convention causes, because we believe we're better together than we are by ourselves. And so, again, just understand, that's what we mean by the local storehouse. Again, sometimes people, they don't always think right about that. You know, one Sunday a preacher in an African-American church where they like to talk back, and you guys are doing better at that, but they really talk back in African-American churches. And he was preaching, and so he was really wanting to try to help his church understand why it was important to give. And so he was preaching, and he said, if this church is going to advance, if we're really going to grow, then we've got to take up our bed and walk. And they spoke back to him. They said, "Let it walk, preacher. Let it walk." So he was getting into it. Now, I think he even took his coat off by this time. He said, if this church is going to grow, it's going to have to lay aside its hindrances and run from Hebrews chapter 12. The congregation said, "Let it run, preacher. Let it run." So he's getting into it. Now, he said, if we're really going to grow and make a difference for the kingdom, we've got to spread our wings and fly. Let it fly, preacher. Let it fly. Finally, he said, if we're really going to do what God wants us to do, it's going to take some money. And they said, "Let it walk, preacher. Let it walk." And we're all like that. We're all like that. But man, I want our church to thrive. So we got to have the right perspective. That's why tithing is a blessing. But there's one last thing I want to tell you about tithing today. Tithing is a blessing, thirdly, because it unleashes the power of God in our lives. It unleashes the power of God in our lives. I believe that to the core of my being. I've seen that. And many of you could give testimony today of how that's happened in your life. Look with me there in verse 10 again, the blessing of God. After he says to bring the full tenth into the storehouse, he says, "Test me in this way. Test me." Again, this is the only place in Scripture where God says this. Why? Because I think God knows how strong, much of a stronghold money can have in our lives. Oftentimes money is the last thing we surrender control of in our lives. And so he's encouraging us. He said, "Hey, just put me to the test and see if I'm not faithful. See if I won't bless you in an incredible way." Now look at what it says here. "See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure." That word floodgates, it's interesting in the Hebrew. The same word is used in Genesis chapter 7 verse 11. We looked at that one not too long ago. Remember what that was talking about? That's whenever they shut the door of the ark. God shut the door of the ark and the heaven, the rain came down out of the heaven and burst forth from the earth. Floodgates opened. And so that's the torrential rainfall that came on the earth. And then he says, "See if I will not pour out." Pour out. That phrase means to make empty. So when we trust God, it's like think about God having a celestial bucket up there and just pouring out blessing on us. He'll pour out blessing, overflowing blessing. You can't outgive God. Now, I'm not saying he's going to make you a millionaire. Again, we can give for the wrong reasons. We give because we love God. And we don't give to earn our salvation either. But he does want to bless you. He's for you and not against you. And he wants to bless you in different ways. And so I want to talk about that for a moment. I want to talk about the blessings that God pours out. I have three thoughts. First of all, the blessings that God pours out are tangible. They are tangible. They might be financial. They might be material. You know, I had a friend not too long ago. He was telling me a story about this, and I hadn't seen him in a long time. And he was a businessman, and he was telling back to the story back, I hadn't seen him in a while, about when his children were in college, and he was trying to run a small business, and his wife got really sick and had some extended hospital stays and some medical, ongoing medical expenses. And he said, "You know, we were trying to figure out how to trim our budget to make it work. And obviously one of the first things we thought about was, well, should I stop tithing?" But he said, "You know what? I'd always been taught to tithe, and I decided I'm just going to trust God." And he said, "You know what? We made it through that time, and they're retired now." And he said, "I never missed a payment, and I never had to the creditors knocking on my door. God took care of me." So sometimes, yes, it's tangible. Again, don't think about it in the wrong way. If you're wanting a Mercedes-Benz or something, I'm not saying that's what it's about. But God does take care of you. He takes care of you financially. Proverbs 22:9, a generous man will be blessed. Proverbs 11:24, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another man withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. And I know what I'm going to say next doesn't make sense to the world. Most people would just scratch their heads. Maybe even some in here would say this, but I know it's true because I've lived it out all my adult life. The 90% that God allows you to keep will go further than the 100% God allows you to make. Have you thought about that? God is the one who's in control. He's in control of everything, all the circumstances of your life. And so, again, people could give testimony of that. But there's more. Second, the blessings that God pours out, he pours out on you, are spiritual. Spiritual blessings. Now, we don't think that much about that, but man, God wants to bless you spiritually. And here's how what I'm talking about, okay? I want to try to make it clear. All of us want to make a difference in this world, right? We want to make sure that our short time on this third rock from the sun, that it counts, that we make a difference. We want to leave a mark. And here's how the world says to do that. The world says the more you take, the more you have. But God says the more you give, the more you have. It's all over the Bible, but Jesus talks about it. We can lay aside treasures in heaven. We can lay aside spiritual blessings. You can know that you're making a spiritual difference. It's modeled in Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he's reminding them that in the early days of the gospel, in other words, his ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my needs several times. I don't know what Thessalonica, what that was like. Maybe that'd be like saying, even when I was in Camdenton, you gave to me. You guys at LHS will get that. But anyway, I'm just joking, by the way, if you're from Camdenton, okay? Just kidding. But Thessalonica, you shared my needs. Now, look at this next part. Look at verse 17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. Now, what profit is he talking about? He's not talking about their bottom line financially. They're a poor church. It's not an investment where they're getting money back necessarily. They're just helping a church in need. They're giving generously. So the profit he's talking about is a spiritual blessing. It's another type of blessing. It's not a tangible blessing necessarily. Because here's the third point. The blessings God pours out are eternal. They're eternal. God gives us eternal blessings. Verse 12, I want you to notice this. Look at this, if you will. This is really cool. Verse 12 says, then all the nations will consider you fortunate, for you will be a delightful land. Now, again, he's not saying that these nations will be envious. That's not why he's writing this. Israel was to be what? Israel was to be a light to the nations, to draw all the nations to the one true God. All these nations living around with pagan gods, they're to see, man, look at the God of the Israelites. I got to get to know him. That was the point of their existence. That's why God was blessing them. And same with us today. We're to be a light to the nations. And so the blessings God pours out are eternal. If you're generous and you give or you go on mission, you go somewhere where there's an unreached, unengaged people group, and there's people there that get saved and you see them in heaven, that's an eternal reward. It's going to be worth it all when you see that person in heaven. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, I will read this. And by the way, we'll go through this in the Sermon on the Mount, verses 19 and 20. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But rather store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. So really what's happening here is God's making a proposal. He's saying, give 10% and let me guide you to manage the 90% that's left over. And if you do that, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you. Tangible blessings, spiritual blessings, eternal blessings. If you'll just follow what I ask you to do. But I want to warn you of one thing before I close. There will never be the opportune time to do that. All right? Every one of us, we're going to be doing, if we're human, which I'm human too, we're going to be saying, all right, Pastor, I get what you're saying. As soon as blank happens, I'll do this. Soon as I get my car paid off. Soon as I get my house paid off. Maybe in the new year, I'll make a New Year's resolution. I'll do it soon. You know what? There's never a better time than right now. Never a better time than right now to get right and close to God. Because there's always something. That's why God says, test me in this. You got to test him. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a 3-month challenge as we close out today. A 3-month challenge to say, God, this 10% is yours and I'm going to tithe. I'm going to tithe faithfully. I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to take you at your word. We've got Christmas coming on. We've got property taxes. We've got a new year coming in. But I'm going to trust you and I'm going to start tithing. And I want you to see if some of these things don't happen. If you don't begin to get your priorities in order. If you don't begin to see God work in your life, grow spiritually. To have the right perspective about everything, not just money, but serving and witnessing and stepping out in faith and doing what God asks you to do. See if it doesn't grow you in your faith. Because God says, test me in this. Because He loves you. He loves you and me. And He wants us to grow in our relationship with Him. Having said that, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to have an invitation. And I want to weave the gospel in. The way that you get to know God is through His Son. You don't get to know God by giving 10% or 20% or 100% of your income. You don't get to know Him by faithful. You can know about Him and the Holy Spirit is working to draw you. But you've got to, there has to be a point in your life when you're born again. There has to be a point when you come to receive Christ as Savior. You repent or turn away from your sins and you believe in Him. You trust in Him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I would never embarrass anyone. But is there someone here today that needs to receive Christ as Savior? Maybe somebody online. I'd like to share a prayer. And there's nothing magical about this prayer. Really, what this prayer does is just reflect what's in your heart. It's a heart change that really brings us into the kingdom. We've got to want to know Jesus and follow Jesus. We've got to be convicted of our sins. But if you're feeling that conviction today, and you want to turn from any known sin, and you want to trust Christ as Savior, believe on Him, and you want to walk with Him and grow and make Him the Lord of your life, the Lord of every area of your life, then a prayer like this would be a good prayer to pray silently in your mind. You're still speaking to the Lord. Just say something like, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I know that my sins separate me from you. I'm ashamed of my sins. I don't like the direction I'm headed. I know that I'm not in the right direction and I'm not ready to meet you. If I were to die today, I would not be ready to stand before God Almighty. I believe there is a God who made all this. And I wouldn't be ready. And Lord, I'm broken about that. And I've heard the gospel. And I'm thankful, Jesus. And I believe that you did come to earth and you died for my sins. You lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved to die, and you rose again on the third day. Jesus, I believe that. And I place my faith in that, my eternal faith in that. If I can place my eternal faith in that, surely I can place my faith in you day by day and live for you and follow your way. But I know I still have a sinful flesh, so help me, Lord. Please forgive me of my sins and then help me to live for you. I make my life yours. I want to have that relationship with you that the pastor is talking about. I want to be clean and close to you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me. Lord, I thank you for what you've done for many in this room. If there's anyone who just prayed that prayer, I pray that they would be bold and come out, step out. Maybe somebody did that recently. And just make a public profession of their faith and let people know that they're now a believer, a follower of Jesus. Lord, I'm thankful for this message today. And even when we have to talk about things that are a little awkward, we can still do it with confidence because we trust your word. We trust your good plan for our lives. Lord, I pray that you would have your way in this place during this invitation. You receive all the glory. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.